What's up, everybody? This is Jason Diakite. Today's episode is a recording we did on May 22nd, just 2 months into the pandemic. We were trying to imagine our lives in the future and the future of our creative professions. This was recorded just 3 days before the brutal murder of George Floyd. So here it is, this moment from May 22nd, with myself and Marcus Samuelson coming at you from Stockholm and Harlem. Check it out. All right, everybody. Welcome back to This Moment with me, Jason Diakite, situated on the island of Södermalm in Stockholm, connecting by the transatlantic bridge all the way to my brother, Marcus Samuelson, on 120th Street in Harlem. Boom!
Booyaka, gunshot straight from Harlem, man. What's going on? We both on islands, man.
I know, man. I know. How are things on your island?
You know, just trying to cope with the new normal. And, you know, it's definitely spring, summer now. It's warm. It's warm over here. It goes so quick, you know, from being cold early May to like, boom, now it's summertime, you know. So a lot of
that's beautiful.
Bicycling with Zion and catching up.
Does that mean, because like Harlem street life is legendary? I mean, people are out.
It's very strange, you know, because it's perfect days. It's beautiful. So Harlem wants to do stuff, right? But you know how it is here. The barbershop have moved outside, right? They're still cutting hairs, but they're cutting it in the park. The DJs have moved outside, social distancing though. You know what I mean? So it's not as many people. There's basically no tourists. So Harlem is really just Harlemites right now, trying to make a good, you know, at 7 o'clock, people come outside, applaud the first responders. After that, people start dance parties. You know, they block down the street and start dance parties, social distancing though.
All right.
Yeah. So the shape of it's spring, summer, and mind you, late May is when we have the best weather, because now it's like 85, which would
not
be
too warm, like, not too cold.
Exactly. Yeah. So there is actually a real good sort of local vibe that you would appreciate, but you know, but it's different.
Oh man, you know.
Yeah.
I miss it. Now you got me wishing I was there, because there's no dance parties here. There's no, you know, nobody's out applauding first responders. We already talked about that. You know, it's weird that that's not happening. But here, life is just kind of, you know, going on as normal. But yeah, spring arrived here too, which means people are out, you know. In Sweden, we have, of course, the holy uteserveringar, the sidewalk. You know, all the restaurants and bars put their tables and chairs out when the weather starts turning warm enough.
Are they packed?
They're pretty packed. What they're doing now is they put, like, you know, there's an X on every other table, so people can only sit every other table. Mm-hmm. But so as far as that, they're packed, you know. But I know from talking to some of the locals here running places, you know, if you're a restaurant and you can only fill up halfway, that's not enough to keep the wheels turning. So I just heard about another restaurant last week that that had to close, had to shut down. We went to, there's a Persian restaurant down the block from here, and their food is like excellent, like just really, really good. And we went there yesterday and it was totally empty, no people. They had cut down the menu to just a couple of items and it just wasn't good, you know? And I was like, damn, because they're not, they haven't been able, I was just like, yo, when we were eating there and we were even giving some of the food to our daughter, I'm like, this food might not be, you know, this food is probably not fresh because they haven't had any turnaround and they're just trying to, they're trying to survive, you know, they're trying to maintain.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Jason, do you, I mean, as a as an artist, you do big band performance, but you also done just by yourself, right? Almost unplugged. Mm-hmm. So as an artist, you constantly have to kind of go from the big scene to a smaller stage. Mm-hmm. Creatively, you have to navigate, right? Like, would you go back with them, 15 people? You probably like 25 people all between the roadies and everything.
Yeah, we're about 20 with all the technicians and the drivers and everything. Yeah. You know, I don't know if we'll be able to because I'm not sure that I think just like overall budgets for productions and for, you know, what they're going to pay artists and everything is going to go down. I'm not sure how it's going to look, but it's like I'm almost imagining that we're going to go into a new era where people are going to have to, it's going to be like a little more skeleton crew, bare bones type situation for a while.
You could tell like in all creativity, and the reason why I ask is also because this is a huge test for all of us, every profession, every business, but specifically for creatives, right? Even redesigning the restaurants, right? Since you can only have X amount of people right. in the restaurant.
Right.
Can we in New York start using the boulevards the way they do in Barcelona or Paris, right? Can we, you know, there are strict roof laws in New York, but maybe, you know, I'm looking at every inch. I might think about that, the rooster. Imagine you sit in the middle of Lenox Boulevard, on the boulevard eating instead, right? Imagine you might have an experience on the roof, but only 15 people. So just like how you have to kind of like reimagine, will you do Timbuktu concert virtually from your, you know, from the garage or whatever it might be? Like we all have to constantly, and will that eventually then change the experience so our messaging is different, right? I guess because my menu will be different if I have to. You know, if I'm further away from the table with the kitchen, I have to write a different menu. That's just a logical thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You have to have something that works for that. I'm pretty much expecting that, like, to do larger shows that's 500 plus people won't happen until probably next summer.
One thing that I found fascinating is that Restaurant Noma, probably the most famous restaurant, the top five famous restaurant in the world in Copenhagen, they took a page, or maybe not a page, out of Niklas, but they really reshaped who they were. I mean, I imagine to be one of the most expensive, you know, experiences in terms of dining in the world. And they turned around to became a burger place, burger and wine, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think, you know, I watched them on Instagram. I watched Renee on Instagram. And I really applaud him for like, the inside of the restaurant might not even be used that much. It's really like, he's created almost like a mini park where you can come up and just get some wine. Get a good burger, a vegetarian burger, regular burger, all of that stuff. And I think that you're going to see so many examples of creativity have to reimagine itself. Like if you would have told me 4 months ago that Noma would become a burger place, I would say, Jason, you know, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, right.
And so I take that example as a Copenhagen, you know, right around the corner from Stockholm. You know, Rene has been doing this for a long time, and he's really been on the forefront of sort of the new Nordic cuisine. And I do think he's also been very transparent, shown everything on Instagram so you can follow him. And being transparent in the struggles of reshaping this, right? And I know becoming a burger place, those are examples. You know, I'm in the middle of reimagining Red Rooster. You know, I'm thinking about how I'm going to open for takeout, and what would that launch be like? Will Rakim do a virtual show? Will we be on the roof cooking it, me and Kingsley? So it's just all about reimagining, and it's a scary place. But I do think that once you push it out, it's amazing. As athletes, you think about when you're in the zone, or when I think about the greatest days with Rooster, the greatest days about being in the chef, the best dish. Explain for me, dream a little bit. Take us there. What was your best performance? When do you feel like you and the band, it's just, you know, because it's important to think about the high days too, whether you're a mechanic, absolutely, a teacher, a soccer player or a musician or a chef. So, so we're not just talking about the low days.
No, it's, I mean, you have those magical moments on stage where you're kind of just, you know, you're one with everything, like the audience, the band, you're just connecting on a almost like extra conscious level where it's like time stops, you know, and it's just like the band is playing in sync and the audience is feeding the band and the band feeding the audience. And, you know, those magical moments are the ones that I try to, you know, achieve more or less every night. You know, I remember, you know, I have several moments like that, both being in the crowd looking at a band. You know, when I went to see D'Angelo at Cirkus in Stockholm.
Nice one.
2000. I think it was July 8th. 2000, and he was playing with, you know, Questlove, yeah, Pino Palladino, Bilal was singing. I think it was like Bilal, Anthony Hamilton singing back, and like Jill Scott or something singing backup vocals. So even the backup vocalists were like superstars, you know. They were just doing the backup. Like any one of them could have just held the concert on their own. Mm-hmm. And I remember that in like the second song, D'Angelo just took his mic stand and just like broke it over his knee. Like not because he was angry or anything, because he was just like, fuck it, let's just let it all, you know. And that just, like the audience just went wild. Mm. And then we were all in that same zone where you're not thinking of, you're not even thinking of when one song started, the other one ended, what time is it, how long have I been here? Yeah. All that stuff is gone. You're in the music and the band is in the crowd. It's just like that, that magic that can only happen at a concert.
Yes.
And then, of course, for me, there's several moments like that being on stage. I remember I played in Roskilde 2007. And or was it 2009? I think it might have been 2009. Anyway, Roskilde is the biggest festival in the Nordic countries, has about 100,000 people.
Yes, yes.
They were supposed to celebrate their 50th year this year. So being invited to play at Roskilde is a really big deal. You know, I've been there a couple of times. Anyway, we showed up on the Sunday, which is the very last day.
Wow.
And then people have already been there for a week. So you know people are like tired, they're muddy, their money's all spent. You know, they've seen 1,000 bands already. And besides that year, so Roskilde is the end of June, I think. It had rained for a week straight.
Yes, yes.
And we get there. The mud is a foot deep everywhere. And people just look like, they look like they're extras in Braveheart or something. And we jump off the bus and the clouds start breaking up. So the sun starts breaking through. And then, you know, we go on maybe like 7 o'clock at night. We're like, okay, how's this going to, you know, how's this going to turn out? We get this tent that holds like 10,000 people, but I think we have like 15,000 or something.
Wow.
And it's like we're in a pressure cooker, you know?
Yes.
The audience was totally, there were like all stops were gone. And, you know, as an artist, you get up on stage and it's like, for me, it's always the first 30 seconds. Mm, mm. That's when you gauge something happens in the first 30 seconds. It's like the same as if I step into, you know, a hotel room. Mm-hmm. Within 30 seconds, I feel the feng shui or the vibe of the room.
Yeah, I judge a restaurant on the first 30 seconds too.
I just know am I enjoying this space or do I not like the vibe of this space? And on a stage, that becomes like hyper, you know, sensitive. So the first 30 seconds on a stage are so like crucial in a way. I just remember I remember going out on stage and then I remember like bowing and thanking the audience after the show was done. I actually don't remember. I've seen pictures and seen footage, but I have no memories from after I had been on for 30 seconds until I said that. It was just like, it was wild, you know?
Wow, that sounds amazing. I mean, it's important to dream and keep those pictures alive because that's end of the day. All of us as people, we have moments when we're in the zone like that. Not the same as yours. Yours is obviously on a completely different level.
It's so counter-pandemic in a sense because when the concert is magical, of course, it's about the music. It's about the band, but it's about the crowd. Most of all, it's about the act of coming together.
Yes.
And it's the being in proximity to each other. It's the being there together, which is so, you know, which is such a natural thing, except when there's a deadly virus being spread, because then the whole coming together can't really happen. So when I think about it now, I'm like, even moving into the world and the way the world is going to be these coming 2 or 3 years, as long as, you know, this pandemic goes on, like, how do we find another way of coming together when we can't really come together, you know? Like, that gathering, you know, that gathering and that communion, how does that happen when we have to stand 6 feet from each other or everybody's in their own home? How do we get that feeling, you know? That's the code that I want to crack.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft.
Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I was speaking to my friend Rochelle, her grandmother. She known me since I got to New York, and her grandmother is just like an incredible black auntie. And she just said to me, "Son, God is telling us something. You know, this moment God is telling us something. It's just too much. We moved too fast. We didn't take care of each other."
Right.
You know, she's highly spiritual, right? So she just looks at it from, it's almost like a warning from above. And the way she said it, you know, like you sit back in a Baptist church and she's like, "Son, God is telling us something. We were moving too fast."
Exactly.
And I cannot say she doesn't have a point, right?
No, she definitely has a point.
And I was like, yes. Yeah.
I was speaking to my auntie who you met, you know, Jamie. She was saying the same thing. You know, we haven't been kind, you know, and God is telling us this to remind us that we have to be kind to each other. You know, she was talking of kindness as being the biggest lesson that we needed to learn, as the biggest takeaway from this, you know. We haven't been kind to the planet. We haven't been kind to each other.
For me, you know, I walk up to the line and now it's changing, right? We just crossed 50,000 meals, which was a big up. But now we're handing out other things. And yesterday, 2 days ago, I was starting handing out masks. And on Monday, I'm going to start hand out books as well. Because people are donating. The mask came from the fire department. And books are just coming from people dropping off stuff. And it's going to be fascinating to start to hand out the books because of course, people need to read during this time too. And I don't know what's going to be the next thing. And this is coming purely by volunteers, people coming and dropping off stuff. So when you talk about an act of kindness, right? And I've said to a lot of my friends that are like, "Hey, how can we help out?" I said, "You don't have to write a check. That local coffee shop or that local bar, if you're in marketing, offer 2 hours a week of marketing expertise. If you're an accountant, offer, maybe you can work on their books because I know they're going to need it. As a small entrepreneur, everything is cost and you're scared right now. So, I mean, yeah, if you have the means, write a check, but most people don't, but you have skills. So I really encourage, this is really going back to the village of,
bartering.
Right. Yes, and take a bartering and being in a community. And I think even more in a place like Harlem, those rules, people have been doing that. And that's what I meant with like all of a sudden I showed up to Rooster, there was just a bunch of books there. And I was like, what do I do now? Like we have to wipe them down. But that level of giving, and I do think anyone has skills, share those skills. I have a puppet master guy that, you know, always performs at Zion's birthday. So I called him in to do something just for the kids because, you know, just because you're homeless doesn't mean that kids are not involved, right? So we're going to do like a puppet show out of Rooster soon just because.
That's dope, man.
So we don't That's have to beautiful. Stop. You know, it's not all financial, you know. So it's about, I try to not every day stare at the horrible reality that it is. I want to dream because cooking in my imagination comes from dreaming. And if I stop dreaming big, part of my creativity, what makes me special, is gone. And I don't want to lose it.
It's well put, Marcus. We can't stop dreaming.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
And I think it's especially important now when all of our plans, everything that we had been working for and we're in the middle of our lives, abruptly canceled. The future's on hold, right? So it's like, okay, what are we don't know what the world of tomorrow is going to look like. We don't know what August is going to be like, what November, is there a second wave? It's just uncertain, right? Is there even going to be an election? And what's going to happen, right? So I think imagining and dreaming and imagining a horizon is really important now, because it's just when you look at it, otherwise you're like, I'm looking, but I don't know what we're moving into. And that uncertainty, I think, is just, can easily just become painful for people to have that uncertainty, you know.
You're launching two new songs this spring. And tell me a little bit how did that come about, and what's the collaboration, what's the songs about?
First track that came out May 8th is with a young guy named Honest Ondemena, who's basically a YouTuber and a real heavy internet presence in Sweden. Started out with like interviewing famous Swedish rappers and building a huge following, and then started to release his own music. And he's an MC at the core. And so he asked me to jump on a track that he was doing. And I'm like, yeah, you know, why not? You know, we recorded it pre-pandemic, but when it came time to release it, of course, we're in this paradigm that we are, you know, things like recording a video and promoting a song and so forth are no longer possible in the way they were before. So, you know, we went for an animated video. We did home recordings.
Yeah.
And pushed the song out. And it's really, you know, it's reached out to a lot of people here. You know, for every time an artist from a younger generational artist reaches out to me, I'm always very, like, humbled by that. You know, like, all right, great. You want to have an old dog like myself involved? I'm just happy to be there, man. It's all about connecting, like, intergenerationally, right? Because traditionally it's like...
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, no, you young cats don't know what you're doing. But for me, it's more like, yo, the way the young rappers in Sweden and in the States, just young rappers in general, are the way they promote stuff, their work ethic is totally different than it was when I was coming up, you know? And we also talked about that. Mm. Like in a country like Sweden today, you know, when I grew up in Sweden, when I was coming up as a rapper, you didn't really have gangsta rap in Sweden in the same way. Today you have it, you know. And when I was coming up, sure, there were definitely cats that you needed to watch out for that would be in the same club where I'd be performing. And you knew who everyone was, but it was very chill. Today it's like people are carrying guns. It's notched up even here in Sweden. So we were actually talking about that. Just coming up as a rapper today is both more challenging in one way than it was when I came up, but also they have all these tools at their disposal. They have the phones, their laptops.
Of course.
They have their own media channels, which is basically what an Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or, you know, TikTok or, you know, all these different media channels. Basically, they're sitting on their own little CNNs, you know, and can just like broadcast, boom. And then it comes down to just how creative are you with that? And a lot of cats are really, you know, a lot of brothers and sisters are using that to their advantage.
No, and thank God that has changed, right? Like, I mean, it's the same with restaurants. You know, when I was coming up, you needed a lot of money to start a restaurant. If you were a young cat, there was no way you could start a restaurant. And guess what? Today, through Instagram, you can do events, you can start a food truck, and some of the most creative food come from people younger than 25.
True.
Because, you know, they use social media in a smart way. And I think every era has to have its moment and its pros and cons. Like, for example, two things. I always make sure I have an older mentor and a young mentor.
Right, exactly.
And the young mentor kicks my ass. And I like that a lot because then I know what's up, for example, right? And then the other thing, it's also about being curious and balancing the experience of seeing something, but also experience something, right? So when I was 18 years old, I read an article about blowfish and fugu, which is the fish that you die of. But I, you know, I saved my money and went to Japan to experience that. Now, today, maybe if I would have been 18 years old, maybe I just would have watched it on YouTube.
Exactly.
But I wouldn't have had those experiences.
Not the hands-on.
So I do think, yeah, like, as a kid today, when you have everything, you got to get out of your own bedroom to really experience the world. You can learn about the world, but you really got to, next step is to do it.
Yeah.
But you've been very creative, though, because you got a brand new song coming out as well. So what's that about?
It's actually a track that I wrote. It's the first song I wrote after my daughter was born. I wrote it about a year and a half ago, and I wrote it to a beat that I'd had on my desktop, on my laptop, for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
There's this super talented producer from Trollhättan, you know, small post-industrial, you know, like, yeah, Sweden's equivalent of like maybe Cleveland or Cincinnati, yeah, or something, yeah, like total Swedish rust belt.
Yeah.
So this cat, Tommy Black.
Tommy Black, of course.
He makes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tommy name. Black, he makes hip hop. He makes hip hop that sounds like no one else in this country. So he had sent me something in 2013, and I remember hearing it then, and I was like, wow, this is so, it's like both retro and future at the same time. I had it on my computer for 5 years, and my daughter having been born, and I wanted to write something, I found this old beat on my laptop and wrote this song. And then I called up my friend Snow Allegra, who's this amazingly talented singer from Sweden of Persian descent, who lives, yeah, in LA. And she laid down some vocals for the chorus. And it's just, you know, it's not like a hit song or something that, you know, is going to be killing the radio airwaves, but it's a song that's really important to me, yeah, and that that I just want to share with my, you know,
yeah, that's amazing,
with my fans. And basically I wanted to come out also, it's for my daughter when she looks back and like, oh, okay, so that's what my dad was doing around the time, you know, when I was born and so forth.
Dope. But that's like such a personal thing. That's beautiful. What is the song called?
Well, it's actually called Ace of Diamonds because that's what the beat was called. So AOD for short, you know, then you can read into that what you want. But it's all about basically connecting, you know, you talk about bloodline and lineage, but, you know, in all this linear thinking, you know, it's actually circular, you know.
Yeah, beautiful.
So it's not the lines, and it's not just, there are these lines, but we can connect them to circles. And for me, you know, getting to know my daughter has been an experience of understanding that circularity.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah.
You know, I think like a lot of indigenous cultures in Africa, South and Central America and Asia have a more circular way of thinking. You know, how the moon passes around the earth, that passes around the sun. Much more than the Western way of thinking of like point A to B, everything is on a line,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And to me, like getting to know my own child was really understanding that it is much more circular than it is linear.
Beautiful.
That's basically where I'm at writing it, you know?
That's amazing. And imagine that's something, yeah, that you got from the town of Saab 5 years ago.
Yeah.
No, exactly. But I mean, that's sick, right? Like he sent it, he had you in mind, you kind of had it, you dug it, and then your daughter is born, you write the song, and it comes out in this time when we need to find a purpose, you know, and that's amazing.
Yeah, one of the things, you know, that's why I have it on the first page in my book. You know, we've been talking so much in our podcast, Marcus, about Africa and the African perspective and of different African countries and cultures. And there's so many amazing words like Crosby that I talked to,
yes,
in Cape Town. He was talking about Iskanego, mm-hmm, you know, something that everybody will see. But there's this other South African word that I really love. I think it's a Xhosa word too, but Ubuntu. You
Ubuntu,
know?
Of course.
Ubuntu. Mm. Ubuntu is like, for me, Ubuntu just sums up, you know, like the being like becoming a parent. You know, I am through you.
Mm-hmm.
You are through me. You know, so to me, Ubuntu is a really deep word, and especially in this pandemic time, because we're really realizing that both that I can catch something from you that might kill,
yes,
me, But at the same time, that's how close we are.
Yeah.
We're really close because you could either help me or you could kill me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really, I need for you to be okay. Because if you're okay, then you're not going to cough in the elevator and I step in 5 minutes later and I catch something and then I bring that to my family and then somebody gets sick, mm-hmm. you know? So I need for you to be okay so that I'm okay.
Yes.
And that Ubuntu way of thinking is, it just speaks
strong.
To this time.
It's very, very
it
strong.
Speaks to this moment, you know?
I agree with you, Jason. I think Ubuntu is one of the most powerful concepts. And here you're going to hear it straight from the source, all the way from Cape Town.
Yeah, so Ubuntu is about, you know, seeing the humanity in someone else. So like, I am because you are, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a kind of way of being in a kind of way of thinking about life outside of just like, okay, these conditions are working for me and so everything is fine. You have to go, if these conditions are working for me, they need to be working for Marcus as well, right? And I think what I've seen during the lockdown has been a lot of people reaching for the inner Ubuntu, you know, so there's like areas that are like in informal settlements where like local business people have been like, okay, we have to try and feed some of these kids because we know for a fact that their parents are not going to work at all, right? They didn't have work before because South Africa has a huge employment problems. And so a lot of the inequality issues that exist during lockdown existed before. And so
Absolutely.
There have been cases of people just reaching out, you know, like outside of themselves to try and like help other people where they can.
This moment is produced by Mohammed El Abed. It's an Acast recording and can be heard on all platforms. So stay tuned. More depth coming your way soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.